Thanks for downloading this, the 334th episode of the IVMV podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I'm joined by one other host of this podcast through a Google Plus Hangout.
Hey everybody, it's Kurt.
And Andy will probably or may be joining us here in a little bit into this episode. Again, this episode, our sound quality is a little lower than usual. I'm in California, and we are using the audio from the live stream. And speaking of California, I will be meeting up with some listeners and Cubs fans out here this upcoming Tuesday. We're going to watch the Cubs-Reds game, which starts at 4 p.m. Pacific time. And we're meeting at the brewery in Placentia. That's the brewery is spelled B-R-U-E-R-Y. And if you're planning on going, you're not familiar with that establishment. It's off the 57 at Orangethorpe. Kurt, you're more of a beer guy. I kind of had to ask you for advice when shopping for beverages out here. Have you heard of the brewery? I think it's a pretty well-known place.
Yeah, I've heard of it. I've never been to it or anything like that. But I think they have their own beers, and it's a pretty good beer bar for sure.
Yeah, and I guess that there's some other breweries and stuff like that in that area. And so the plan is that we may kind of hop around a little bit. So, and then next Friday, that's the 24th, July 24th, I will be meeting up with some listeners in Colorado. We'll be going to the Rockies-Reds game at Coors Field. And so if you're in Colorado or you're interested in traveling there for this meetup, we're buying the rooftop tickets. And so you can go to the Rockies website, and at the bottom you will see an image for the rooftop and the tickets, and you can get your tickets through there. You can't. I was talking with Michael from Colorado because I was having trouble finding these tickets, and he said that they're cheaper than everything else, and so he thinks they hide them on their website. So but they're $15, and that includes a $6 voucher for food or drinks. So $9 ticket. That's a pretty good deal. The plan is to meet ahead of time. I guess whenever you can before the game, and we're going to meet at the Falling Rock Tap House, which is apparently near Coors Field. So if you're in Southern California or Colorado and you're planning on going to either of these meetups, then shoot me an email, or if you want more information on them, then let me know. So we took the midweek episode off because it was the All-Star break this last week. Kurt, did you watch the Home Run Derby or the All-Star game itself? Do you have any thoughts on what we saw from Rizzo or Chris Bryant?
We recorded during the Home Run Derby. What was that, Sunday? And so I kind of watched a bit of it. I don't have DVR, so I didn't.
Monday.
Yeah, Monday. That's right. We were off a day. I watched a good chunk of the Home Run Derby. They didn't do too well in it, but I will say I really liked the new format, the quicker pace and getting through it rather than making it such a long, drawn out kind of sitting around watching them do nothing. So that was good. I kind of liked the Home Run Derby. Baseball isn't like a flashy sport, so it's kind of nice to have something like that to watch. It's pretty exciting. So I know a lot of people don't like it, but I was entertained for what I watched.
Yeah, I actually liked that new form, and I paid attention. I didn't pay attention a lot, but I did pay attention more than I usually do. And I think that part of the reason was because the Cubs had two players involved in it. But then again, I think if I would have just flipped on anyways, I probably would have stuck with it longer just because it was a lot quicker paced. Chris Berman wasn't nearly as obnoxious as I think he usually is.
Yeah, the faster pace made him less annoying because he had less time to fill.
He couldn't keep up. and really, I think both with the home All-Star game itself, I think that Rizzo and Bryant, especially Bryant, went into this game and these events with the right attitude. I think he was there to have fun, and I really liked that he wanted to share that moment with his dad, and that was more important to him than hitting a bunch of home runs. And I think both the guys kind of did what I expected them to do. Mm-hmm. We kind of talked about how we thought Rizzo would have a lot of line drives that didn't quite make it there. And that's kind of what we saw at the beginning of his time. And then we said that Chris Bryant would probably insanely high pop-ups. And he kind of did that too. So
he almost beat Pujols, right, in the first round, but then Pujols hit that last second shot to beat him. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was cool. At least it made it for a little bit of drama.
Yeah. And I watched a little bit of both. I wasn't really that into either one of the things, but it did keep my attention enough that I would, you know, being with family and not always in control of the TV, I would, you know, manage to flip it over and check in and see how things are going and everything. So.
But yeah, and then as far as the game itself, you know, nothing too exciting happened. I mean, the highlight, I guess, was Bryant walked. So, you know, he did get on base. Rizzo didn't do much. I think he was 0-2. So, as a starting DH. But yeah, I think overall it's just cool to see two guys there. And, you know, it looked like they had a ton of fun. So, not much to talk about as far as their performance in the game.
Right. So let's move on to the second half of the season. It's now underway. We're recording this during Sunday's game against the Braves. So they split the first two games, and I guess it's okay to mention at the time of this recording, the Cubs are up 2-0 in the second inning, I believe. Yeah. But it seems like the Cubs kind of picked up right where they left off, a weak offense and strong pitching. So any comments on this series so far, Kurt?
Well, yeah, that does, if you had to sort of put it in one sentence, I think that pretty covers it pretty well. But at least we did see Lester, you know, being the ace pitcher that we need him to be and that we expected him to be. And, you know, he went 7.1. And just had an incredible performance. And the crazy thing is he actually had a no-hitter going, except in the first inning, Markakis hit that shot, and they originally scored it a hit and then later changed it to an error by Bryant, sort of like reinstating the no-hitter after the fact. But I guess that was a moot point because our favorite player in the whole world, A.J. Pierzynski, got a hit in the eighth inning. To break that up. But, you know, I suppose it did. It would have been kind of weird to see, like, an after-the-fact reinstated no-hitter had he been able to complete it. But, yeah, overall, I mean, man, it was just an incredible performance by Lester, and he was, just, you know, beyond dominant. And, yeah, so that was good to see. I'd like to see him be more consistent and keep that up and sort of build from here in the second half.
Yeah. I mean, Lester has been that bad, but it's nice to see a very dominating performance.
No, I wouldn't call him.
And bad. As far as,
when you see moments like this, and that's like, this is how good he can be, and then when he's not, it does sort of look worse than it is, I suppose.
Right, and with the numbers of that contract kind of looming over every, the expectations are there, whether it's realistic or not. I think there's a lot of fans that would expect him to go out and perform like that on every 5 days, and it's just not realistic.
No hitter every time.
Right. At least. But as far as the offense goes, it has to come to life. I mean, I think it's inevitable. But this team's slump has gone on so long; it's really discouraging. It feels like, I mean, we've been saying this since April. Like, this team is going to put up a ton of runs, mm-hmm. and it's very frustrating that it just doesn't seem to happen. Like, I think I wish I could credit who I saw. I saw somebody on Twitter. I think it was maybe over the break or maybe after Friday's game or something. They said that the Cubs had scored one more run this year than last year after that number of games.
Yeah, I think that they're. When I was digging around for scary stats, I found that they're like 23rd in runs scored. They're near the bottom in hits, and they're, you know, their on base percentage is kind of average. It's a little better. So they're getting on base, but yeah, the run scoring and the offensive production is just, it's just not been there. And they're at the bottom with, like, you know, teams that aren't very good. So yeah, they really need,
right, this. Yeah. And this season we're really lucky he has performed so well, because this, with based on how the offense has done, if the pitching wasn't there to, we could be looking at a lot, you know, a lot worse record.
Oh, absolutely.
So we're really kind of, I feel like we're kind of lucky, and it's not like total luck. I mean, I think that the pitching is, it's not, I mean, in some aspects overperformed, but I think that when you look at the individual pieces, you know, like Arrieta pitching today, it's not like, whoa, where did this come from? You know?
Yeah. And
I say, where did this come from? That's players like Jason Mott and stuff like that, players of that caliber.
Yeah. And thankfully, I mean, our expectations, I think, are most of us, and we've talked about how some people's expectations are a little wild, but I think ours are pretty, you know, they're not too blown out of proportion. So I think that's good to look at this and say, well, you know, they're outperforming here, underperforming here, and we can live with it. But it's in order to sort of surpass the Cardinals, Pirates at the top of the Central, they're going to have to sort of put it all together. Hopefully they can in the second half, because it's nice. I mean, it's easier for me to have hope in the offense coming to life than if the pitching were really bad, maybe outside of a couple guys, Arrieta and Lester, let's say, and the rest of the pitching were bad. It would be hard to be confident that that would turn around. So if they can keep the pitching up and then the offense does what we expect it to do, this could be even a more fun second half. And I think it's been fun to watch the first half.
Yeah, and if that could happen in September, you know, if that could really come together at the end of the season, the timing could work out really well for them in a playoff push and hopefully in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I do wonder how much of this offensive slump is scouting. I mean, early on, of course, guys can have some success, and now that they're getting a bit of a book on these young guys, and it's been a little tougher for the offense to come, but hopefully, yeah.
And throw in a really rough year for Castro.
Yep.
Well, I guess the biggest news, the Cubs news in the last week, is Kyle Schwarber. But before we get to him, let's talk about the situation that led to his promotion. Miguel Montero is on the 15-day disabled list because of a thumb injury. It's a sprained thumb. He didn't break anything. He left Saturday's game against the White Sox after jamming his thumb. He was catching John Lester, and he took one at bat, and then he left the game. So it sounds like Montero is out for around 6 weeks, maybe. So perhaps a late August, early September return for Montero. He hasn't been great at the plate. His numbers haven't been super impressive, but I do think that he's gotten a lot of timely hits, and he's carried the team at times, and he's been a good leader on this team, even though his overall numbers don't really show it. And then obviously we don't need to spend much time on how good he's been behind the plate. He's obviously very good. So I think the Cubs will miss him. I think they'll definitely miss him behind the plate. David Ross is good back there. Really good, but the Cubs don't necessarily want his bat in the lineup every day. And so enter Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, it's been a little bit tough for him behind the plate, Schwarber, catching and receiving, but offensively he's done, you know, more than we could expect, I think. And in his start, what did he have, a couple of hits? And he's been, you know, he's offensively, he was kind of the whole offense 2 days ago in his start, as everybody else, you know, there's a hit here or there, but I think they didn't, you know, they lost, but so it was kind of, it didn't do much, but yeah, he was the sort of offensive spark.
I think that he could, you know, that it's more than just, oh, we need another catcher up. I mean, obviously everybody knows Schwarber's bat is major league ready or worthy, but, it's, it's cool to see these young players step up at times and kind of carry the team and provide, kind of like he did. I mean, he did what he could on in Friday's game, but I think it's encouraging to see that with such a young team, to see some of these young players able to put together like a really good game when everyone else is struggling.
Yeah, especially him, you know, his first game back since, you know, June, and then he comes back and does what he had done before, because he had a hot little streak when he was up for that short stint in June, and for him to come up and continue it. And then coming off the Futures game MVP, where he had like a triple. So it's been a really good week. I mean, he must be seeing the ball well, and that was good, encouraging to see. But yeah. Like I said, he did have some rough moments receiving, but I think that's to be expected. He's probably more nervous catching than he is hitting, I would guess, but who knows?
Right. Yeah. And I kind of think that we might Porter up for the rest of the season. I feel like I've kind of been out of the loop, so I don't really know what the discussion's been on that. But I guess if you're looking at late August, early September return, mm-hmm. I mean, I think Schwarber's probably up and they can use him.
Yeah, I haven't read
much. Maybe in left field, or
I haven't read a ton either, but I guess the only other argument to send him back would be to keep working on, catching and receiving and to be able to play a little more often. But
I mean, at that point, the Iowa, that's the playoffs for the minor league teams. They usually start right after, their last day game usually is Labor Day weekend. Mm-hmm. And so his season could be over at that point anyway. So
yeah,
if at bats would be at the major league level.
Yeah.
So before we move on to listener questions, I asked this question on our Facebook and Twitter earlier in the week, and I'm kind of curious what your answer is, Kurt. By the way, you can get to our Facebook page at ivmv.com/Facebook, and we are at IVMV on Twitter. And so the Cubs had 75 games left at the All-Star break. And Kurt, what do you think their record will be in those 75 games?
Oh, boy. I'm overthinking this, obviously, because I didn't just fire off an answer. But before the season prediction, I think I was pretty cold on them, or we all kind of were. You know, we were thinking more.
I think we said overall like 83 to 85.
Yeah, like closer to 500. And now, I think they've proven they can hold. And we just talked about how the offense hasn't really been there. So I want to say, like, I kind of want to say they'll just keep up what they're currently doing. The record will be similar. So I would probably say, 41 and what did you say, 75 games?
That would be 34.
41 and 34?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, and that's pretty much, as far as winning percentage goes, my calculations are correct. That's pretty much right on line with what they did in the first half. I think that's fair, just to sort of keep that expectation. I don't expect them to just run and try to catch the Cardinals for the Central, but to be in the hunt for the wild card or one of them.
Yeah. Yep. And that's kind of what most people that responded, they were, in between 40 and 43, 44, somewhere in there. So
that would put them at how many wins? 80.
Well, they were what, 47?
Yeah,
88. Yeah.
That'd be pretty good.
I'd take that. Yeah. I'd take it. So let's get to some listener questions here. This first one comes from Brian. And Brian actually sent this quite a while ago, but because I'm on vacation, organizational skills and remembering where I saw certain things and making sure that I copy and paste them and stuff. So this is a little late coming, but he says, "Hey guys, I didn't know if the Archer and others trade for Garza and others bothers you, but it still bothers me. I did a little research into WAR and this is what I came up with." So we basically, what Brian does is add up the WAR of all of the players involved in that trade. So going to the Rays, so the Cubs to the Rays were Archer, and since then he's had a 8.3 WAR. Hakju Lee, zero WAR so far. Robinson Chirinos is a 3.5 WAR. Sam Fold, 4.5 WAR. And Brandon Guyer is a 3.1 WAR. That totals 19.4 WAR overall so far. Garza had 5.5 for the Cubs. Fernando Perez had zero. And Zach Roscup has negative 0.5 WAR so far. And that amounts to 5 overall. So 19.4 to 5. Garza was flipped for Carl Edwards Jr., 0 WAR so far. Justin Grimm, 1.4. And Mike Olt, negative 0.7. And Neil Ramirez, 1.4 WAR. So that comes out to 2.1 WAR. So basically, overall, the trade has netted the Cubs 7.1 WAR versus the 19.4 that went to the Rays. And so I guess Brian's just kind of irritated, I suppose, that things didn't turn out well. And I think it's pretty clear that the Rays did come out on top of that trade. But I also think it's worth noting that that was a Jim Hendry era trade. And I think that trade was... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, like, I'm totally with him as far as the fact that anybody loved to have Chris Archer. These are tough to evaluate like this because at the time you didn't know. I mean, Chris Archer was a good prospect, but we didn't know he would become this. And that's kind of the risk with trading prospects. And you know, it could have easily gone the other way. So I totally agree that the Cubs lost out on that deal, but they're just.
Well, I think in the long run. I think in the long run, even the Cubs would have said, Jim Hendry probably would have known that the potential was that the Rays would eventually come out on top. I think that trade was an effort to strengthen that 2010 team, and especially the starting pitching of the 2010 team. And in doing so, he gave up a lot of prospects. And I suppose that Hendry had to know that his job was in jeopardy. And that team was not headed in the right direction. That the moves were made in the previous 5 years to build towards that 07-08 team, and it didn't pan out. It was a good team, but not good in the playoffs. and what we saw from 2009 till 2012 or 13 was the backside of that strategy. And obviously Jim Hendry had to have known the team was not headed in the right direction. And I suppose you could probably make the case that the trade was made to perhaps salvage his job and make that 2010 season look a little more respectable. It didn't work.
Yeah.
So, hey, look at that. It's Sandy.
Oh, this is Jed Hoyer.
Jedediah.
Thought I'd just check in on you guys and say you're doing a fine job. I know you guys already know everything that's going on, but I figured there might be a couple behind the scenes type of things I could share with you.
I really expected you to say first time caller, long time listener, long time host, first time caller,
long time talker, long time blowhard.
We were actually just talking about this is what vacation podcasts are like, you know. You just everything's I'm literally just drenched in sweat right now. I can't really think straight, and Andy comes in halfway through. This is a Ivy and Beyond vacation.
You are kind of glistening.
Oh my gosh, it's so hot here. Can you see this? Just like, I'm just, my wrench, it's so hot.
It's like rivulets. Yeah, So what were you guys talking about?
So we were just talking about Matt Garza trade and how out for the Cubs and how the Rays came out on top on that trade.
Yeah, and wouldn't it be nice to have Chris Archer?
Yeah, boy, that guy's a great pitcher. but I was thinking Robinson.
I was hoping you would just say, like, that guy's a great pitcher. What?
Yeah, I mean, let's pump the brakes on Archer. I mean, what about Chirinos or Sam Fold? Wasn't he in that deal?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Anything you wanted to add to that, Andy, before we move on to the next question?
No, I mean, that's it. I just wanted to say Robinson, Chirinos.
Jerry says, what are the odds of a blockbuster trade before the deadline?
Not great.
Yeah, I don't think this is the year they're going to do that. I think maybe in the next couple of years we might see that, but I don't think this is the one.
Because I think if the Cubs are involved in a blockbuster trade, that's a blockbuster prospect involved. And I just don't see them doing that yet.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how you define blockbuster. I don't really think the Cubs are going to go out and acquire an ace or an ace caliber pitcher. I think if that happens, it'll be done in the offseason. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked, but I don't think it will happen. I think they will make trades, but it will be probably a lower level starter and some bullpen help. I could see a bench player. I don't really think they're going to go out and get a big bat either. If Schwarber's hitting well, and when Montero comes, it makes sense to slide him into left field. And I think if you add him to the outfield, I don't see anything that would need an upgrade. Like, I just can't even think of. I think it would have to be like a bench player. And at that point, if Schwarber does assume an outfield position, you know, Chris Coughlin's still there. Yeah. So I think this team is going to look pretty similar when the season's over.
It's probably not the answer some people want to hear.
Yeah.
That I want to hear, but I think some people would like to see the Cubs do something.
I think position player wise, I can't really see much happening, but I do think there could be some stuff. I mean, the Cubs have some flexibility with the pitching staff. I mean, there are some players on this pitching staff that could pretty easily not be there at the end of the season. I mean, obviously Edwin Jackson, but you know, Travis Wood could be somebody that maybe another team would have use for that. The Cubs don't really. And he's pitched well. I mean, I don't have anything against Travis Wood, but, and I think if Castro gets traded, I mean, like, it would be a player, if it's going to be a blockbuster, I think it would have to be, like you said, Kurt, kind of a, I think it would have to be a blockbuster from our, that we're giving up too. And let's say Castro, I think that's going to happen in the off season. I don't think that's going to happen during this season.
And he doesn't have huge value right now. I mean, he does. No. I think he's got plenty of value, but not in a race to the end of the season.
Right. Yeah. Michael from Colorado, he says, why do you think they are keeping Teagarden on the roster right now? Also, who the hell is catching in Iowa?
That is a good question.
The Cubs picked up this guy named Luke Carlin, who he played with Oakland's AAA affiliate this year. And I assume he got DFA'd. But anyway, he'd been kind of struggling apparently this season, although according to MLB trade rumors, he was very popular with the pitching staff there. But he's a 34-year-old player, so he's just a guy that can come in and play at a competent level in Iowa.
Right. Right now, Taylor Davis is catching. We saw him play outfield for Iowa when we were there for our meetup.
Yeah, got to chat with him in the parking lot.
Yeah, he's your son's favorite player.
We got a signed ball up on his nightstand up there. So, go Taylor, number two.
Well, wasn't the early answer to the Garden question that
right
that Schwarber was going to be possibly getting more outfield time than catcher time? Although now it sounds like he's going to start 3 of the 4 games in Cincinnati at catcher. So it does,
yeah.
It does seem like Teagarden's a little superfluous right now on the big league roster.
Well, the Cubs have had 3 catchers on their roster, and Madden how to make it work. And I don't think that there is an everyday starter in that group of three. And so I think it's probably good to have, I don't know. I mean, I think you could pretty easily do it with just like Schwarber and Ross, but if you're used to, you know, if you're used to a lineup with three catchers, why not, I guess.
It's like putting on a comfy old shirt.
Right. He feels naked without that third catcher in his back pocket. Jason from the Quad Cities says, who are the Cubs right now? A young team that will take their licks but keep on ticking, or a team on the cusp? Let's start there. He has a couple other questions.
I think they could be both. I think I'd call them both.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think you're right. To me, they do remind me of a team that kind of has, I guess it depends on how Jason defines like a team that will take their licks but keep on ticking. To me, that means, wow, and really poorly, look bad, and come out the next game and get a win. And that's kind of what I think we've seen quite a bit this season. We've seen a team look really inept. Or not inept, that's the wrong term, but just a team that can't put it together in a particular game that really just, especially offensively, looks really poor, but then can come out the next game and scratch out a win or actually put up some runs. And I think that type of team is on the cusp.
Yeah.
So then he says, does that answer affect how you manage the trading deadline?
I think we just kind of talked about that a bit, you know, before about, I just don't think we're going to see anything I don't think we're going to see any trades that make us super uncomfortable. I think we're going to see trades and they're just going to be like, okay, yeah, that works. But, so yeah, I think it does. I think you're not going to blow anything up. You're going to kind of, it's a sort of status quo, I think.
Right.
And, well, and let's see what, you know, we have more time to see what these guys start to look like they're going to become, you know, before parting ways with them or deciding to build around them. And I think this is the season to do that, is like continue to watch them and see what they can do. Since, you know, and then next season can have a different complexion to it.
Yeah. And then shouldn't the Cubs just use the video of Harry Carey singing the seventh inning stretch all the time, getting tired of the guest singers? And Jason from New Mexico, he kind of chimes in on this, and he says he'd like to see the video board used for Harry singing the stretch during night games and then guest singers for day games. I kind of like that idea. You know, I know a lot of people had kind of said that they would like to see a video of Harry Carey singing the seventh inning stretch. And I think that it could get old. To me, it seems like something that was really cool when they did it. And I think if they did it at first, I kind of agreed with it. I thought, you know what, that gets out of the all. A lot of Cubs fans back to the, you know, that it changes with the Cubs and with Wrigley Field. And I kind of felt like doing something like that portion of the fan base that doesn't like those changes would maybe appreciate that. But I think that it could get very old and kind of tired.
Did it get old for you when he was actually doing it?
No, but it wasn't looking at a video board. I just feel like if they do it occasionally, I don't like the guest conductors. Like, I guess my ideal situation would be maybe like Lynn Casper or Pat Hughes singing the seventh inning stretch, and then occasionally bring like doing the Harry Carey thing on the Jumbotron. I think I'd prefer that. Well, maybe he can do voice lessons in the off season or something.
What about just bringing Eddie Vedder to do it every time? Yeah.
I'd be down as long as it's not. Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm on board. I hate the conductors, but I also agree that every day on the video board might take away its, you know, its uniqueness, or it's sort of it might get a little old. So
what about Max Headroom?
Because I've gone to, this is not the same at all, obviously, but when you go to baseball games at Dozier Park down in Peoria for the Peoria Chiefs, they play a video of a stretch, and about singing it to something kind of, and it's kind of cold, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, with it being recorded, I don't know. There's just some, I like kind of the live aspect of what they do at Wrigley. Like, I like someone singing it live. I kind of like that it's not always like in time, that sometimes the organist has to like kind of adjust to the singer and stuff. It kind of makes it feel, I don't know. It's like the difference of watching a band live, you know, in a band that might kind of like not improv a little bit, but you know, just kind of like their variations or something, versus going somewhere and listening to like, I don't know where I'm going with this.
You're losing me.
I think I like, what I'm trying to say is I like it live. And to me, it seems like the guest singers have been a little bit better this year. I don't think we've had any like train wrecks yet, have we?
I wouldn't know because I mute it. Hey. I'm not kidding. I always mute it when it comes on. I'm like, F this. Mute.
Not even giving them a chance.
Nope. I don't even want to hear it.
That's, and there have been a couple of really good ones, I thought.
Yeah. I'll suffer that loss just to not hear the bad. It's just so annoying. I just can't stand it. People up there promoting their movies and stuff. It drives me nuts.
Speaking of,
I'd rather just do organ. There's my take. Organ.
Yeah,
Harry on special occasions.
Yeah, I could get behind that probably. But speaking of singing, I thought that the person that sang the national anthem for the All-Star game, I thought that was like the best All-Star game rendition, or best national anthem rendition I've ever heard. I loved it. I thought it was awesome. Did you guys happen to see it?
I did.
Did she have like background singers? Was that, am I thinking of
that? No, she had, or yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm thinking of the Home Run Derby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not the All-Star game itself, but the Home Run Derby. It was a lady that has cerebral palsy, and I believe she's also blind. And she was amazing. I thought it was great, and I don't know. I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Cool.
I thought it was really good. So this next one here comes from Christopher, and he says, Kyle Schwarber started his second stint with the Cubs and went 3-for-3, but in his last two at-bats, he's 0-for-2. I think he's a bum and needs to be traded. Your thoughts? And here's something hilarious. When I copy from Facebook and put it into my word processor, instead of showing the smiley face, it says smile emoticon.
I was kind of hoping Christopher actually typed that out. Yeah,
I'm rid of him. Yep.
Unfortunately, he's not starting in the game. I'm sure you guys already talked about this, but he's not starting in the game that's going on right now either. So we have to wait till the Red Series to see him play, or get regular bats again, I guess.
Yeah. Yep. Which, I don't know. I can't ever find myself, I know that some people kind of like freak out about that, but I can't find myself, those like minor day-to-day things, I don't know. Does that bother you guys? Like, you're, oh, why isn't this guy in the lineup?
Well, it bothers me more if I'm at a game, like if I actually go to a game.
That's true, yeah.
But you're right. Like, if I'm just going to watch it on TV, it's not that big of a deal. It just, I'm looking forward to seeing more Schwarber at bats.
So right.
But it's not like, I didn't like break something in the house when I wasn't in the lineup.
There are some folks that take it that serious.
Yeah.
All right. Nick from Wisconsin. Johnson says, thoughts that Coondog's play-by-play is to give Pat a bit of a break during the long season instead of WBBM's idea?
Probably.
Well, obviously that break in there, I mean, it's kind of gone. It's always been there. Yeah, so
he to just disappear. Well, now he,
right.
Coondog takes an inning and he disappears. So it's like he negotiated in his contract, like, I need two innings off or something. I don't know. He does still disappear, right? Like in the seventh or
eighth? I don't think so. I think
I don't think he does.
He's there because this replaces the crapper break. Yeah, okay.
Maybe he can technically leave the booth, but he's like, yeah, I'm not leaving Coomdog here by himself.
Coomdog would be asking him questions when he's not there. What do you think?
Coomdog has nobody to agree with.
He has to be there.
Yeah. Nowhere to direct his agreement.
Jordan says, so who had DJ LeMahieu becoming a future all-star when the Cubs traded him? I know I did. And then he says, hashtag sarcasm.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy. But
it turned out to be worth a little bit more than a packet of horsey sauce.
Yeah, but nothing against LeMahieu, but I would rather have any of our second base options over him.
Yeah, and then it wasn't Josh Donaldson was a former Cub farmhand, too.
So right, he was a catcher in the Cub system.
Yeah. Well, we saw him play infield, too, in the Cub system. Yeah. Or Donaldson, I'm sorry, I'm thinking of Josh Harrison. My bad.
No, Donaldson was, he caught, I believe he caught most of the time when he was with the Cubs. But, but those things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just doesn't happen so often for the Cubs that we're on the receiving end of, like, I don't know. Arrieta is.
Yeah, well, the Padres has got to be saying, well, Rizzo was ours, and then we traded him to the
right.
Cubs,
so. That's true, yeah. Yeah. All right, so thanks for sending those in. And, I ask for questions. You can email them anytime. You can email me, Corey@ivmv.com, or you can email from within the Ivy Envy app. You just click on contact the show, and then email. We also, I should mention, we have been getting a lot of voicemails, and because I did not bring my setup, I have no way to get them into the show, and so I'm just kind of holding on to them, and then when I get back home next week, we'll plug those in at the end of next week's show. So thanks for sending those in, and you can continue to do so. And I forgot to mention that on the last week's episode that I don't really have a way to put them in. So Kurt, do you have a scary stat of the week?
Yeah, I do. It's really, it's tough to find something fresh, given we went a couple games into the second half. But I'm going to go with Schwarber's performance kind of overall this year, but then also in the last week. So we talked about he won the MVP in the All-Star Futures game. So I'm going to go ahead and include that game just because I can, because I'm in charge. But in the last three games, if you include that game, he's hit for the cycle. He had a triple in the Futures game that scored two runs. He is hitting .407, and that kind of includes a not so great performance. Like I forget who asked the question, but 0-for-2 in his last couple at bats. But yeah, still hitting over .400. He had that 3-for-4 on Friday, and was really the only offense to speak of. Offensively, let me give it to Kyle Schwarber for really just being on fire lately. So. A little bit weak this week, but didn't have a whole lot to work with.
I was going to say it was the All-Star break. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I should have said like Chris Bryant hit 8 home runs in one day or something. That could be one too.
Off a 60-year-old pitcher.
Yeah.
So, do you guys have any internet muscle flexes this week?
I don't
either. Hope you do.
I have a couple. Neither of them are very good. I kind of tried to go back to the Cubs.com stuff, but man, it's just, it's not the same over there.
No, I think the old anti-Epstein crowd just
they've disappeared.
Yeah.
And now there's just a new breed of buffoons on social media that we've been able to pay attention to. So I don't even remember what picture this is from. It doesn't really matter. There's a couple comments here. So this was from their Instagram. So this first one, if you have kids in the car with you or listening, you might want to skip ahead 30 seconds or so, because it has a word. It's not a terrible word, but it's one you probably wouldn't want your kids to hear. This person says, the Cubs will fail to make the playoffs because they refuse to bunt and play small ball, and Pedro Strop is worthless as tits on a boar hog.
I love it. It does your two reasons. They don't bunt and Pedro Strop. Problem solved.
I don't know. It's not even that great of a flex. I guess it just kind of it stood out to me for some reason. Let's see. This next one, and I believe, let's just assume that this person is not being is not trying to be funny, because I really don't think that they are. So this person says, what's up with Strope and allowing runs with two outs? The inning still isn't over unless you have three outs.
Well, they are right.
I mean, I think
not a teachable moment.
That's kind of that part. Well, yep. Maybe we've solved the last two, those two flexes. If we just tell Strope that there are three outs in the inning,
right? Right. There you go.
Be as worthless as.
Maybe as that if, commenter says.
Maybe if Kerry Wood were the pitching coach instead of Bazio,
we'd
know this by
now. Oh, my God. I can't even get into that. But in just looking through the Cubs' Instagram and stuff, it's amazing. I just love the whole, like, this player sucks. We need to trade them. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know, my idea is always... I mean, you know, as you guys can tell, I've obviously made a lot of brilliant financial decisions over the years. And my philosophy is always sell low. You know, you got something that's not worth anything, sell it now before.
That's how I'm going to retire early.
I just, the whole, like, this player sucks, they need to trade him. That. There's a lot of that going on right now.
Yeah. Although, I guess we can be encouraged by the number of trolls on Cubs social media, because that means they're getting some attention. So when they weren't good, there weren't nearly as many trolls.
Right. That's a good point.
Now they're everywhere.
Yeah. Well, that does it for this episode, and this episode was made possible by all of our Patreon contributors. A special thanks to our Hall of Fame level contributors. Patreon is kind of like Kickstarter. You can pledge monthly support from levels as low as $1 a month, and it helps us pay the podcasting bills, and it helps us to continue improving the podcast. So the Cubs head to Cincinnati for a four-game series, four games in 3 days with the Reds. And then they get Thursday off, and they return to Wrigley to host the Phillies. I'm really looking forward to getting back in our normal recording environment. It's really hard for me to record in these. It is. Besides the fact I'm just dripping in sweat right now, everything feels different to me. I have to use different headphones. I can't hear myself. I just, I don't know. I'm looking forward to getting into our normal group. And plus, I feel like when we're not in our normal places, the whole, like, flow of everything is a little bit different. So thank you for listening and downloading. And until next time, go Cubs.